We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Go Huskies podcast is presented by Airvan Moving, the official mover of Husky football, and your next move.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to another Football Friday edition of the Go Huskies podcast. I'm Tony Castricone, previewing this weekend's game between the Washington Football Huskies, 0-2 on the season, trying to get their first win, and welcoming in Arkansas State, the Red Wolves out of the Sun Belt Conference, who are 1-1 on the season. They opened up with a win over FCS Central Arkansas 40-21 back in week one before hosting Memphis this past weekend in an absolute shootout, one of the highest yardage games in college football in the last 10 years. 55-50 win for the Memphis Tigers, although Arkansas State had a chance to throw it into the end zone, a Hail Mary attempt at trying to win that game. So this is a pretty good team that comes up to Seattle for the first ever meeting between these two. But I want to get you a preview for today's for tomorrow's football game, and we're going to do it by talking to Matt Stolz. He's the play-by-play voice of the Arkansas State Red Wolves. He'll be up here to call the game for them, and he's got a complete preview of what they bring up to Seattle for this contest. But also we'll talk to outside linebackers coach Akaika Malloy. And boy, this was a really great conversation I had with Akaika, who's one of my favorite coaches on the staff. He brings so much passion, so much energy. This guy is a dog himself. He played, obviously, for the Huskies, but he also has coached a lot of these guys more intimately because he's been a defensive line coach. He recruited Tuli Ntaki and Fatui Tuitele. And now he's on the outside linebackers working with that room, but also is a co-defensive coordinator on this team, working with Bob Gregory in that role. And so he really kind of has his fingerprints all over this defense, and he was a great person to talk to. It was a really great conversation. I'm looking forward to bringing that to you here momentarily. So Akaika Malloy and Matt Stolz will give you a great preview of Washington and Arkansas State coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, got to let you know, this Football Friday edition of the Go Huskies podcast is brought to you by GoPuff. Now look, college goes by fast, but GoPuff delivers even faster than that. GoPuff delivers anything you need in 30 minutes or less. Think about that. We're living in 2021 now, and you could just get on your phone and then boom, you need a soda? It's at your doorstep in 30 minutes or less. That's pretty crazy. Snacks, drinks, other game day essentials like burgers, buns, party cups, and also everyday needs like laundry stuff, school supplies, electronics, OTCs, whatever you need, they've got it for you. GoPuff was made for college by college students, so they know exactly what you need and when you need it. We've got a special promo code for you. Use code VARSITY at checkout for $10 off your first two orders. Okay, Huskies hosting Arkansas State, and we talk about the Husky side of things with outside linebackers coach Akaika Malloy.
Coach, off to an 0-2 start. I know no one wants to be in this situation going into the Arkansas State game, but how are you handling it, and how's your room handling it so far?
I think really good. You know, I think those guys are competitors, and obviously I came in on Sunday very disappointed, but knowing that we can't do nothing about the pass and only continue to improve, and we got a really good offense coming in. You know, it's a completely different style of offense. They're very much up-tempo, and they move the ball well. I mean, I think they average over almost 400 yards on offense. So, you know, while we're trying to correct the things and get better from the previous game, we knew we had to get ready for the next game because those guys will come in here swinging.
Tell me, I mean, like, I was on the plane. It's a long flight home from Ann Arbor. We all got in at 5 a.m. and stuff, and yet you got to get in here. You got to find some time to watch the tape. You got to make some adjustments from a game that didn't go your way, and you got to put it behind you and move on to the next week. How hard is that?
You know, it's really difficult because you're emotionally drained of the effort you just put forth, and, you know, you're disappointed for the kids. You know, I think those kids play hard. I think our kids are fighting as best they know how, and as a coach, you just feel like we need to put them in better positions. You know, all throughout the team. You know, regardless of the position, I think we as coaches all feel that way. You know, you start to dissect the film, and did we put them in good position? Did we teach them the right techniques? And you know, that's what the whole Saturday on the plane. And you know, I think I watched the game about three times before we landed, and when we landed, I got up at 8 a.m. and tried to watch it again. You know, you know these kids want to win. And, you know, for us, our responsibility is to put them in good position. So that was the feeling of Saturday, I should say. And then Sunday I got up and tried to move forward.
Yeah. You're co-defensive coordinator along with, you know, Bob Gregory leading the way. And so, you know, I'm kind of curious, before we talk about your guys in the outside linebacker room, just a defense as a big picture. Are you surprised you had a hard time stopping the run in Ann Arbor?
You know, I think those guys did a good job in terms of what they presented in the actual game. You know, things that were different at times. And, you know, we knew they would be really, really physical. We thought we had a pretty good game plan, and I thought we matched up the physicality of the game plan. But, you know, those, you know how the Big Ten is. I mean, those become body blows. And eventually, you know, if you're on the field, I think they ran the ball for 56 times. Now eventually those body blows, they start to make you bend and break. You know, and I think ultimately that's what happened. They were just more the more physical team, sad to say. And, you know, yeah, I was disappointed in that result. In terms of the defense that we expect from Death Row.
You've got an interesting perspective because you're not just the outside linebackers coach, but you were on the D-line last year. And so that whole front, you know all of this personnel. Starting at the inside of it, Thule talking, you threw in Jacob Bandez for the start in this game as well. What did you see about those guys? What did you see from those guys? And how do you feel about their progression here as they're now veterans?
You know, Tucky and Thule were awesome. And those guys play big-time football. You know, we knew they were going to progress to that part. And being able to surround them and put somebody – was a little bit younger in terms of his technique, put him in the middle, you know, kind of surround him with bigger guys. But, you know, I thought those two guys showed up. They were really wired for this game. And, you know, I think Taki led everybody with 11 tackles, you know, so he did a really good game. And I think the younger guys, Bandes, Kual, Voi, you know, those guys are learning and progressing. And, you know, when you try to learn against a team like Michigan, you know, those can be bigger bumps and bruises than you're normally used to. And, you know, so it was a great learning curve for us to see where we stand in terms of just being physical and what physicality is, and hopefully we'll improve from there.
How about hemming guys in from the outside? You know, I mean, I thought Ryan Bowman, he didn't have a big stat sheet in this game, but I thought there were several plays where he altered what Michigan was trying to do by really doing a great job on contain and just continues to be a physical presence.
Man, he's a really good player. I'm so proud that he, you know, he's in our room and he's a teacher. But then you take out Ryan Bowman and the rest of my room is very inexperienced. You know, we got a bunch of freshmen out there on the field. And, you know, again, I think those guys are fighting hard and I think they're learning from Ryan. I think Ryan's doing a great job. But, you know, at times one mistake here or there, you know, it only takes one play to score. And for us, in our particular room, we had one mistake, and one mistake turned into a score, and another mistake turned into a big play, and so on and so forth. So for, you know, that's, again, that comes back to me. I think that's a reflection of coaching, you know, and the details of it. You know, I think I mentioned it the week before going into this game. that everything will come down to details, you know, and that's something that I pride myself on, and I got to get corrected.
And I know Jimmy Lake has taken a lot of the same ownership when he talks to the media and the press conferences, and it's the leadership way to be. It's the right approach to take. I'm curious what some of these staff meetings have been like. I'm sure kind of intense as you're trying to get the first win this weekend, but, you know, I mean, that's the same approach that he's been taking. Accountability starts with the coaches.
Absolutely. You know, I think it always starts that way, and like you said, you know, it starts from top down. You know, I think the staff meetings have been intense because we know we need results. That's what we need. We need a win to start with. And for us, you know, crossing T's, dotting I's, that can be more important. You know, we're up here late, but for that purpose. I think the players, on the other hand, I think those guys talked about accountability and making sure they are following through with whatever the game plan might be. So, you know, I think those guys are taking the right approach. I know for sure we are as coaches, and hopefully the mixture of two will come together on Saturday.
How's Zion doing in his recovery? And also, in addition to that, how is he helping lead and support these guys through this tough 0-2 start?
Yeah, so he's a coach from the outside looking in. You know, he always comes with a great perspective because he's been there, he's done that, and he can kind of put himself in those players' shoes. I mean, last year he was only a redshirt freshman as well. You know, so for that part, I think it helps the players to know that if they keep following through with the technique and they're consistent with it, they can do what they saw, you know, Zion doing. And I think his progress is awesome. I know he's running around quite a bit now, and I heard it's ahead of schedule, but, you know, for me, I mean, he keeps bugging me in my room, man. He's ready to play, and I said, man, just leave me alone, you know. I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it, and, you know, I don't want any false hope on my own end, but he's looking pretty good right now.
Well, he's being replaced by a young freshman in Cooper McDonald, who I think has been a guy to really flash on this defense. He has the team's only sack through the first two games, and he came really close to blindsiding Cade McNamara with a second in that game. That could have been a strip sack if McNamara hadn't let go of the ball half a second earlier. I just think the young freshman out of Texas is really flash.
Yeah, you know, I think he's not fazed by big games. You know, I think he really trusts his technique. He's very, very smart. He actually knows both positions in case, you know, and Rhino needs a break, he'll actually go to Rhino's spot, and we'll bring in Savelle and Jeremiah. You know, so for him, he's very mature in terms of his approach to the game. He's constantly watching film. He's constantly communicating. He actually looks like one of the vets out there. And I think each game that he builds confidence, you know, we'll continue to see his leadership skills.
Last couple things for you, and I'll let you get back to it. I appreciate the time. You know, I think you've got Savelle Smalls, Braylon Trice. Those guys are young. There's a lot of expectations from Husky Nation. They're very excited to see them play. And yet, one of the guys I've been most impressed with off the edge has been Jeremiah Martin's been close to the football, making some plays. His transfer out of Texas A&M is a veteran, and I think he's earned some playing time.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's actually going to be the first one in the rotation going forward because of the two games that he put back-to-back. But, you know, I go back to Savelle and Braylon, and there are a lot of expectations both from us as Husky Nation but also from themselves. You know, and I really look forward to Saturday and hoping that both sides we meet that expectations. And I think Jeremiah is he's coming into his own. You know, I think he's the stuff that he's brought over from Texas A&M and his ability to adapt to what we expect out of him, I think he's bought into it, you know, and now we're starting to see the results from it.
You guys ever give him a hard time about that drop pick in the end zone against Montana?
Oh, of course. He's actually on Sunday, we put him on a jug machine and he caught 100 balls. So,
all right, yeah, that's a good response, a good reaction. And finally, you know, Jordan Lolohea has earned some playing time. He's been out there in the first couple of games, and it's fascinating to me, a kid who graduated high school in 2017. So some of his high school classmates have their college degrees by now.
Yeah.
And yet he classifies as a freshman here at Washington. He's still new. He's still young. What's the blend of maturity, personal maturity, plus maybe playing time and experience? Yeah. How are you seeing that kind of come together?
Personal maturity. I mean, he was already there. And he's actually very mature in how he carries himself. Being out for 2 years, there was a lot of rust that he had to get off of himself. And I think his confidence is finally building up. He's actually looking like the player that I recruited when he was at East High School. You know, and he sees it. You see him smiling a lot on the field. And he definitely has earned the right to be on that field. And especially in Husky Stadium on Saturday, you will see quite a bit of Jordan Lolohea. I mean, he's very consistent in what he's been doing. He had a pretty good week so far. So I think he's excited. I'm excited to see what he can do again.
What do you think are some keys against this Arkansas State team that's going to drop back more than any other team we've seen this year?
Us winning our one-on-one battles. You know, I think we've kind of talked about tips and tendencies and what we can expect from them. We talked about the style of offense that they play. You know, so for us, it'll be just executing our technique and then winning that one-on-one battle. We will all have enough chances to make plays. So if we can, you know, we can make do of those opportunities on Saturday, I really believe we're going to be successful with that part of it, and I think we'll all be happy.
I really appreciate you, Akaika. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, Tony. Thank you so much.
Always love having the chance to catch up with Coach Malloy. Thanks to him for the time. Really appreciate it, and great insight from him on what this Husky defense is going to try to get done against an Arkansas State offense that, look, they ran 98 plays. This is going to be up-tempo to the extreme, probably the most up-tempo game that the Husky defense is going to have to prepare for all season long. And for a little bit more detail on what the Red Wolves bring, we catch up with their play-by-play voice now. All right, Matt Stolz, voice of the Arkansas State Red Wolves, coming in. And first ever meeting between these two programs. Just the second time the Huskies have played a member of the current Sun Belt Conference. Kind of an odd matchup, Matt, to be honest, but excited to have you guys coming up and checking out a Saturday at Husky Stadium. It should be a lot of fun. And you bring a high-octane, high-powered offense in. What has it been like these first 2 weeks adjusting to the Butch Jones era and what he has brought offensively?
Well, it has been an adjustment, and thanks for having me, Tony. It's very different. Just anytime you have a new coaching staff come in, there's going to be changes. But in this instance, Coach Jones has come in. He's tried to put his own stamp on the program, and over 50 newcomers have come into the program since Butch Jones arrived on campus back in December. So there's a lot of fresh faces around the program, and trying to, you know, obviously mix them with some of the returners that are back. And through the first 2 weeks, we've seen, you know, the Red Wolves go 1-1. They got off to a little bit of a slow start in week one against an FCS opponent with Central Arkansas, but really turned it on in the second half. And then last week, just a shootout with a really, really good Memphis team. And, you know, they end up having a chance at a Hail Mary to try to win the game at the end, but came up short in a 55-50 decision. But it's an exciting team to watch. You mentioned the offense. I'm sure we'll get into the quarterbacks, but, you know, we have a couple of really good options there too.
Well, let's start with the quarterbacks. I mean, you got a Florida State transfer and an Alabama transfer. So, I mean, you got some guys that started off at big time programs, have settled in at Arkansas State, and it's weird. I mean, it's the old adage says, if you got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks, right? Because the last thing anybody ever wants is a quarterback controversy. And yet it doesn't seem that it's very controversial for you guys, because they both come in, they both move the football, and their productivity statistically is almost identical, which is bizarre. So how similar are these two guys, and then how different are they?
Well, there are similarities, but when you look at the build, Lane Hatcher is at 5'11". He's the Alabama transfer that you referenced. He's actually an Arkansas kid. He went to Pulaski Academy in Little Rock, which is an extremely successful high school program, and he put up record numbers. He threw for more career yards than anybody ever in the state of Arkansas, and he did go walk on at Alabama, and he was in the same quarterback room with Jalen Hurts, Tua, and with Mac Jones, and he's friends with all of those guys. And, you know, he wanted an opportunity to play, so he did come back to his home state and came to Arkansas State, where he walked into a backup role a couple of years back. The starter at the time, Logan Bonner, got hurt after four games, and Lane Hatcher took over. He ended up being the Sun Belt Conference Freshman of the Year. Then when Logan Bonner came back last year, it turned into a quarterback competition, and it stayed a quarterback competition the rest of the year, and really a unique situation last year with Lane and Logan Bonner. And Logan, by the way, has transferred to Utah State, where our former head coach Blake Anderson went after this past year. But you know, they actually split the reps 50-50 last year. Lane would come in on the even-numbered series and Logan on the odd-numbered series. So it was a very unique situation. And then once again this year, another quarterback competition. James Blackman, the Florida State transfer, who, like Lane, has thrown for over 5,000 yards in his career already, came in, and it's been a competition all the way up until this week. And you go back to week one, Blackman started the game. Coach Jones was looking for a spark. He went to Lane Hatcher in the second half, and Lane had a perfect night. 12 for 12 for 150 yards and four touchdowns. Lane Hatcher then got the start last week against Memphis. He went the first two and a half quarters and threw for 276 yards. He didn't turn the ball over, did have a touchdown. But Butch Jones, once again, was looking for a spark with the Red Wolves down by 18 at the time. James Blackman entered that game with 232 remaining in the third, and he threw for over 300 yards. He was 19 of 28 for 306 and four touchdowns. And we've done research this week, and it's the first time we can ever find, and we've gone all the way back to 2000, and it's probably the first time in the history of college football that two quarterbacks on the same team threw for over 275 yards in the same game. So that's kind of what we're dealing with right now. We don't know who's going to be out there first come kickoff on Saturday, but at the same time, it's really good to have a couple of nice options like Lane Hatcher and James Black.
Yeah, that James Blackman fourth quarter sounds reminiscent of what Husky fans will remember. Corey Dillon set the NCAA record in 1996 for the most rushing yards in a quarter, 222.
Yeah.
And so now James Blackman just slinging it around in the fourth quarter of that game. Are they trying to go with one guy, or is that just not a big deal for Arkansas State this year?
I think Butch Jones would like to have a guy, but at the same time, you know, if you need a spark in the second half, which the Red Wolves have been in search of each of the first 2 weeks, it's good to have a guy that can come in and provide just that. And, you know, to see each quarterback do it in the opposite role, I think was very encouraging. So they do have a very good relationship. They're good friends already, even though James just came in this past offseason. They like each other. They root for each other. When one's on the sideline, they're going to be the first out to greet the other if they go down and lead a scoring drive. So it's good to see that kind of camaraderie between the two as well.
Give me a pro tip, Colin, play-by-play for a team that runs 98 snaps in a game.
Well, just tell your color guy he's got to wrap it up quick. So, I mean, that is my advice. And I've got a first-year color analyst this season. He's actually one of our former quarterbacks here at A-State. And that's what I told him. I said, look, there's going to be some plays where you don't have time to talk. And then there's other plays where you're going to have to keep it to about 5 or 6 seconds in between plays. So it's really, really fast. And in fact, you go back a week ago, Memphis runs every bit as fast as Arkansas State. So you saw it on both sides of the ball. And the Red Wolves actually ran 98 plays in that game, which was tied for second most in school history. So get ready. The Red Wolves do want to push the tempo come kickoff on Saturday.
Butch Jones is a guy that I think he's a good coach, and I'm not sure he got the fairest crack at Tennessee. Had success at Central following Brian Kelly, then followed Brian Kelly to Cincinnati where he won there, goes to Tennessee, one of these big-time jobs in a highly competitive SEC, wins 9 games in back-to-back years. It looks like the turnaround is where they want it to be, but then falls off the cliff the next season, starting 0-6 in league play, and they do what they got to do. They let him go. But seems like a great coach, and seems like he's probably going to come in and institute his way of doing things. I mean, you had a great coach in Blake Anderson too, but you went 4-7 last year. And so I'm just curious, like, you're coming off this COVID year. Anderson had all these good things going, but then, you know, had a tough season in 2020. new culture coming in. What's the adjustment been like?
Well, anytime there's a new coaching staff, there's going to be a little bit of a culture change. And Blake Anderson did have a great run here at Arkansas State. And, you know, last season, that 4-7 year that you referenced was a year that ended a stretch where the Red Wolves had had nine straight winning seasons, went to nine straight bowl games. And really, it was off to a great start last year. In fact, A-State beat Kansas State on the road in week two last year. And it seemed like everything was going the Red Wolves' way and kind of was getting set up to be another great year. And then A-State probably got hit as hard by COVID as any team in the country. And it came right after the Kansas State game, and it just had lingering effects the rest of the season. So 4-7 last year, you're trying to bring in a new coaching staff after Coach Anderson went to Utah State. And Butch Jones is an intense personality. He's somebody that is as detail oriented as anybody I've ever been around. And, you know, you're right. He did have a really good head coaching tenure dating back to Central Michigan, those teams, then at Cincinnati and at Tennessee. You know, they had as much success with him at Tennessee as, you know, that program had had in the previous 15, 20 years. So after he left Tennessee, he went to Alabama and has been, you know, side by side with Nick Saban the last 3 years. So you're taking a head coach that was already really successful before. You put him right next to the best to ever do it. And, you know, Butch Jones feels like he's more prepared as a head coach than ever before. And honestly, he's been great. He's been fantastic to work with. The players have completely bought into what he's trying to do. And it is a different kind of energy than what we've had in a while.
All right, so we've already talked about the transfers from Florida State and Alabama at quarterback. Here are the other programs I see transfers from on your roster: Cincinnati, Tennessee, Iowa State, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Kentucky, TCU, Boise State, Boston College, Houston, Michigan State, Louisville, Iowa, West Virginia. I mean, you got some dudes here who started their career at the Power 5 level and then now have, you know, they've made transfers. Like, all of college football has seen transfers like crazy here. But I'm wondering, like, amongst some of these guys, who has flashed to you like, that's a big-time player right there, and he's going to have a lot of success here in the Sun Belt?
Well, I'll start with Kevon Bennett, and he'll start at defensive end for the Red Wolves. He's a Tennessee transfer, and, you know, he was leading Tennessee in sacks last year. He had 4.5 sacks through 7 games, and he was a guy that Butch Jones actually recruited to Tennessee. So they had a really good relationship before, and Kevon is actually the son of Cornelius Bennett, who was a star defensive lineman, a defensive tackle on those great Buffalo Bills teams back in the 90s that went to the 4 straight Super Bowls. But Kevon is just a game changer. He's a beast coming off that edge, really quick off the line, and he's somebody that certainly could be a Sun Belt Defensive Player of the Year type. On the other side, you've got a North Texas transfer at the other defensive end spot. His name is Joe Azugu. He's a grad transfer, and he's somebody that is off to a good start as well. Very good at that defensive end position. And then the guys inside, Vidal Scott and Terry Hampton, are returners, but they do a good job on that D-line as well. But you'll see some other bodies rotate in. You mentioned a West Virginia transfer. We've got one of those backing up at defensive tackle. John Mincy is a big body that's backing up at defensive tackle too. He's another transfer from Tennessee. So, you know, there are a lot of those big name schools that you see when you go up and down the roster. Iowa State was one that you mentioned. That's Johnny Lang. He was a guy that started some games at running back for the Cyclones, and he's our primary punt returner. So you'll see him on special teams as well. But the Red Wolves, and I mentioned off the top, the 50 newcomers on this roster, a big part of that was hitting the transfer portal, and they hit it hard.
I'm so curious to see what happens when the Huskies have the football. We know what to expect when Arkansas State has it, and I think this will be probably one of the tougher secondaries they go up against this year, so that'll be a strength-on-strength matchup. But on the flip side, Washington is just struggling to move the ball, 8.5 points per game, you know, toward the bottom of college football in the first 2 weeks. And meanwhile, Arkansas State's given up some points. And so, you know, you mentioned Bennett, you mentioned some of these really, really good players on the defensive side of the ball. But how do you see this matchup when the Huskies have the football, and what are some keys for Arkansas State defensively?
Well, Tony, I think you hit on the matchup to watch coming up on Saturday, and that's what will that Washington offensive line do against A-State's defensive front. And I really think when you look at the Red Wolves defensively, it starts up front. That should be the strength of this team, and they did put some pressure on the Memphis quarterback last week. They ended up with 4 sacks for the game, and you know, you see the 55 points the Red Wolves gave up and the 680 yards. They're trying to build on the good things that they did. And, you know, they did force a couple of 3-and-outs on Memphis's last 2 possessions last week that really gave A-State a chance to come back and win that game. I think that if the Red Wolves can generate some pressure, obviously they've got to be able to stop the run. That's something that will be key if the Red Wolves are going to have a chance.
All right, Matt. Hey, really appreciate the time. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Man, I'm looking forward to it as well. It's been a few years since I've been in Seattle, one of my favorite cities in the world, and have heard great things about the environment at Husky Stadium. So looking forward to meeting you and calling a great football game.
Sounds good. And good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate Matt Stolz for that conversation. Also, thanks to outside linebackers coach Akiko Malloy for catching up with me earlier this week as well. That's your Football Friday edition of the Go Huskies podcast. I'm Tony Castricone. Make sure you join us for our game day coverage live from Husky Stadium coming up tomorrow as Washington battles Arkansas State. They come in at 1-1 on the season. Huskies trying to get their first win there, 0-2. And it's a 1:15 kickoff. Technically, I think it's 1:22 is the official kickoff time. Our pregame coverage starts at like 4 a.m. No, not really. It actually starts at 9 a.m. on our flagship station, 950 KJR in Seattle. And then on the statewide Washington Sports Network from Learfield, with 2 affiliates in Alaska and 15 across the great state of Washington, we will go statewide at 11 a.m. Pacific time ahead of our 1:22 kickoff. That's all I've got for you on this edition of the Go Huskies podcast. Thanks as always, and go Dogs.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.